fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here on our last day this week with Dr. Peter Williamson, who's the Adam Cardinal Mitre Chair of Sacred Scripture from Sacred Heart Major Seminary. He's also the editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, which we've been referring to this week. Dr. Williamson wrote a great commentary on the Book of Revelation, very accessible to anybody who picks it up and would like to be able to know more about the Book of Revelation. I'd strongly encourage you to go ahead and buy it, and also look at the other Catholic commentaries that are present there. You can get them on Amazon or your local Catholic bookstore in a variety of places. They're pretty easy to get. But welcome back, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you. It's been so enjoyable having these conversations this week.
Yeah, it is very rich. It's like you just begin to harvest the Word of God, the treasure that's in there, and wow, it's inspiring. It moves the heart.
It opens
our mind.
Energizes us to talk about God's Word and the truth there.
Yeah, we ought to be doing it on a regular basis. Before we jump into today's themes, could you tell us a little bit more about other authors and titles in the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture?
What's out there?
What's accessible?
We've got 11 out of 17 volumes already in print. We're still awaiting some others. One of the ones I'm looking forward to is Scott Hahn's volume on Romans, which he's kind of finishing up now. I just read an email about that today, so I'm kind of very excited about
it. I'm reading it actually right now.
You're reading a manuscript. Yeah,
to see the manuscript, and I like what I'm reading.
Yeah,
it's good stuff. Yeah, he's so good.
But then we do have wonderful volumes. Dr. Mary Healy's volume on the Gospel of Mark has sold extraordinarily well and is very well received. The one by Curtis Mitch and Ted Sree on the Gospel of Matthew is very good. Many priests are using it for homilies. A brand new one by Father Francis Martin and William Wright on the Gospel of John. That's the latest one, and I think that is a very rich volume, and people are going to really get a lot out of that. So then we've got a wonderful volume by Father Dennis Hamm on Philippians and Colossians, and on Acts by Father Bill Kurtz, and Dr. Dan Keating has written a great one on 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude, and I wrote one on Ephesians.
Yes, which I've used here over the years, many times the last couple of years. It's very good.
Yeah. And a couple of wonderful volumes by Father George Montague. He wrote the one on 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians is, in my opinion, one of the most interesting books of the New Testament. It really tells us what life was like in the early church and the struggles that Paul had with people living in pagan Corinth. And so Father Montague's done a great job on that and on the pastoral epistles. And then there's a really good one on 2 Corinthians by Father Tom Stegman. He's a Jesuit from Boston, and he really understands and explains the dynamics of Paul's own struggles with the Church of Corinth and his own biography and the conflict that's going on there and the insights. It's a rich volume. So I'm pretty happy with every volume in the series.
That's great. Congratulations on that, too. So the best way to get it is basically on Amazon for people?
It's online, Amazon. It's there available. It's available in a lot of Catholic bookstores. Go ask your Catholic bookstore. Okay. If they don't have it, tell them to get it.
Tell them to get them. Okay, great. Well, good. Let's dive in. This is our last program on the Book of Revelation here. Let's talk about some of the key letters from the seven letters to the churches. So tell us about that, because it's so applicable right now to our lives in the church today.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. The Book of Revelation, after the initial vision of Jesus, goes into a series of messages that Jesus gives to the seven churches. And they're called seven letters, but they're really not letters. They're actually prophecies, seven prophecies to some of the leading churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Now, they weren't the only churches. It seemed that these were picked as kind of representative of the whole of the Church of Asia Minor, but actually the whole of the church. So there's, although it addresses things that were very specific to a time and place, the Holy Spirit knows how to address something specific to a certain time and place and then allow others to read it at other times and find analogous applications to their own lives. And that's the way it is with these seven letters. So seven letters or messages or prophecies.
Yeah.
Okay. So the way it begins is very interesting. Each of them begins with "to the angel of the church of," and then it names the city. So it's not clear whether the angel represents a guardian angel of the church or whether it represents the bishop, the head elder, head presbyter who was leading the church. But Then it says, at the beginning of chapter 2, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, so it's speaking about Jesus himself, and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The seven golden lampstands represent the churches, and the stars represent the angels of the churches or the bishops or the leaders. But what it's saying is that Christ is walking among the churches. You might think of it as the parishes of your city, because those are the churches of your city. And like the churches of Asia Minor, probably your parish is the same size or larger than these original churches that were addressed. And so it was to congregations, you know, that these letters or messages were addressed. And the key thing I want to get here is Jesus is walking among them. So you may think, oh my gosh, my parish, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, or, you know, whatever. But the truth is Jesus is there and he's walking among the parishes of your city. And he's looking at them. And each of the prophecies of chapters 2 and 3 that includes these seven letters to the churches begins with, I know your works, or I know what's going on. And Jesus knows what's going on in your parish, in your community, and he cares about it. And he has a word for you, and just as he has a word for them. And if we listen to his voice, if we listen by reading through these two chapters, chapter 2, chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, and listen to the Holy Spirit, I think you'll hear something that he's saying to you personally and something that he's saying to your parish, to your church. And it's not the same thing. Actually, in the book, he's got quite different messages for each different places. And some he's praising, some he's criticizing, some he's very severe with, some he's very gentle with. And there's a different message because different parishes, different communities, different individuals are in different places. And at the end of every single one of these prophecies, it says, let whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're all called to listen to all the messages so we can hear and apply with the guidance of the Holy Spirit what applies to us.
And we see in those some of the things that Jesus, as the good shepherd, as the pastor, as Lord, that he's concerned about and that he wants us to know. We can really draw from that. Let's take a look at a couple of them.
Sure.
That you think
okay.
are most applicable.
Okay,
today.
Well, one of the ones that we talked about, I think, last time was the last of the letters to Laodicea, where he speaks about a church that's lukewarm. And he says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But he says, repent. You think you're in good shape, but you're not. You think you're in good shape. I'm going to take a look at it. Even though it's a little bit of repeating what I said, I think it's a rather important one for the church today. It says, for you say, I am rich and affluent and have no need of anything. We are a wonderful parish in the suburbs. We have everything that we need. We have wonderful programs. And yet you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So there are some times that Christians are deceived about their own circumstances and they think they're doing pretty well. And they need to listen because Jesus may have a different opinion and his opinion's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he says, I advise you, basically, to repent. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and chastise. If you never get reproved and chastised, maybe you should wonder if Jesus loves you. Maybe you should wonder if you're hearing him, because those whom he loves, he reproves and chastises. And he says, be earnest, therefore, and repent. So this affluent church of Laodicea that is really just lukewarm and thinks it's doing great, he says, I advise you to buy from me, come from me, and get gold refined by fire, white garments to put on so that your nakedness can be covered, ointment to smear on your eyes so you have true discernment and can see. So I think it's a summons to all of us to examine ourselves and not have too high opinion of ourselves, but to be attentive to the Lord's voice of correction. So that's maybe a first general word. Mm. Now, I want to jump into another one that's a very interesting one, the letter to Pergamum. Now, back in the letter to Ephesus, the first one, in verse 6, Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, he says, you know, you've fallen from your first love, so do what you used to do. That was better. You know, go back to loving the Lord the way you once did. And then he says, but I have this in your favor. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Doesn't explain it more. You hate, that's good about you, is you resist the Nicolaitans. You don't do what the Nicolaitans do. So it begins to get us wondering, what are the Nicolaitans?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in the letter to Pergamum, the third of them, it says this, It says a lot of things that are interesting. It says, yet I have a few things among you. So he says, you kept the faith. You did really good. You held fast to my name. Even you live where Satan's throne is. And that probably refers to a big temple of Zeus that was on the mountain above the Acropolis of the city, the highest point of the city. And I've been to Pergamum, and you can look down up, and there's the ruins on the top of the city. And there was this huge altar to Zeus, like 100 yards wide. I mean, a huge altar. And they think that that's what was meant by the throne of Satan in your midst. And they also had below it these big temples to Asclepius, the pagan god of healing. So there's all kind of pagan worship there. So these people have been faithful. They'd had one of their leaders, probably their bishop, Antipas, was martyred among you, was killed among you where Satan lives. After commending them for their faithfulness, despite these pressures, Jesus says this, yet I have a few things against you. You have some people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who instructed Balak to put a stumbling block before the Israelites to eat food sacrificed to idols and to play the harlot. So thus, you also have some people who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So the point is, the compromise with culture, with the pagan culture of sacrificing to other gods and eating idol sacrifices, eating in pagan temples, is something they were doing. In other words, there were some Christian teachers there who were saying it's okay to do what the world does. They were basically relaxing the tension between God's standards in Scripture and in the teaching of Christ and the standards of the world outside, and saying, you can do what they do. You can think like they think. You can practice what they practice. Okay, we don't need to hold to that old view of sexuality that says people don't live together. No, it's fine. If you really love each other, it's fine. Same-sex attractions, you know, well, God made you that way. We can, God's very merciful and he's loving. It doesn't matter, you know, who you love.
You think about all the things like material culture like ours, the commitment to consumption and material
exactly.
possessions and acquiring.
Christians can have it all.
Yeah, have it all. Absolutely.
So the tendency in the life of the church to kind of compromise with the world, to accommodate what the world thinks, what the world does, whether it's money, whether it's politics, whether it's keeping money for ourselves, whether it's being able to be rich and making that our life, all the ways in which the teaching of Jesus, the gospel, the whole of the Bible differs from our society. Those that want to relax it and say the world, it's okay for a Christian just to do this and be this, and say it's okay to watch all the movies they watch, all the shows they watch, that's the Nicolaitan. Say, you can have it all. You can have Jesus and you can have the world. And Jesus says, the works of the Nicolaitans I hate. So he's summoning us to not go there and to reject forms of Christianity that compromise the Christian way of life.
Peter, that's really good. I think I've never quite noticed it in this letter like I did in some of the others.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you touched on it today, because we are really at a time where the pressure, the culture is for the church to conform. If you don't conform, we're going to put the hurt on you. You're going to feel pressure from
Absolutely.
Us. And so people are acquiescing and the rest of it. And so, boy, this week went by so fast. Thank you so much for being with us. This is really important teaching, and I hope to have you back on this or other material, too. I know you've written on so many other things, and you're such a gift to the church, so thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
Yeah, friends, it's a great gift. The Word of God is here to help us, to strengthen us, to equip us. Take up the Word of God, friends, and chew on it. Love it. We'll see you again next week. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.